This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. La Crosse has been home to a thriving Hmong community for decades, but some residents feel there's still more work to be done to improve the region's understanding of Hmong culture and history. Two instructors from Western Technical College spent a month in Thailand this summer to learn more about the Hmong experience and bring that understanding home to La Crosse. Joining us to talk about the trip and why it's important for Western Technical College and the community are Pam Solberg, Communication Skills Instructor, Lynn Rausch, Nursing Instructor, and Ji Vang, Student Activity Specialist, all from Western Technical College. Pam, could you start by talking a little bit about how you got this opportunity to go to Thailand?
Well, the Fulbright Hayes program is a program that's sponsored by the U.S. Department of Education. It provides funding for people who want to engage in foreign study to bring that information back to their classrooms and to their communities. And so Lynn and I were fortunate enough to be included in a Fulbright Hayes Group Projects Abroad trip to Thailand to study Hmong history and culture.
Yeah, and Lynn, and my understanding is this was also was kind of a broader than just Western Technical College. This thing also included Chippewa Technical College. Can you kind of explain that everyone who was involved in this project?
Well, I probably will leave someone out, but we have a vast variety of interest and teaching techniques and views of everything. As you know, Pam, communications, English, myself, nursing. We had two instructors that teach math. One was in the community college discipline, and one is here in La Crosse in the middle school. Art, English as a second language or as an additional language. Three or four different people that were in that discipline. Business.
And who brought this group together?
CBTC sent out a flyer and was inviting educators to benefit from this opportunity. And people had to apply, write a project proposal that was then reviewed by a number of different people at different respective colleges to see if they met, if the projects met their idea of what they wanted for the thrust of the program and what we could bring back as really cultural ambassadors, both to Thailand and for the United States and, of course, to La Crosse and our respective schools. So all of us were then chosen. And I know that all of us have talked as we traveled how honored we were to be a part of this group of 12 educators to be able to go. And you couldn't have asked for a more diverse population of educators, age ranges from very young to a little bit older. Disciplines, as I said, from art to nursing and everything in between. And you would never think to have a mix of people like this that got along so well, had many, many laughs, lots of moments of happiness, many moving moments as we participated in ceremonies and got to know each other in traveling and staying in the villages and the tribal areas and just benefiting from everything that we were able to do.
Yeah, before we continue talking about this trip to Thailand, Pam, I wonder if you can kind of explain what you teach at Western Technical College, and we'll kind of hear from both of you.
I teach English and speech and interpersonal communication at Western.
Yeah, and so who are typically your students?
The students typically are recent high school grads, although we certainly have a diverse population at Western. We do have older students who are returning to school after many years in the workforce. And for the most part, most of our students are white. We do have some students of color, and we do have a Hmong population too. And that's one of the things that made this trip important.
Yeah, and Lynn, can you share what you teach at Western Technical College?
I teach nursing at many different levels, first, second, third, fourth semester. My concentration is in the second and third semester of nursing, both clinical and theory. I find that our students are, as Pam said, varied in ages and backgrounds. But what my view of trying to help our nursing students is to span the difference between Eastern and Western philosophies and medicine, and having our nursing students that are Hmong feel qualified and welcomed to span that distance in philosophies in medicine, and to be able to go back into the communities and meet the needs of their community and still feel very secure in their knowledge as they go forward.
I think that's I'm so glad you brought this issue up, because I am curious, you know, you talk, you know, communication skills, you know, or cultural studies that might seem like a natural fit for learning about another culture. But, you know, I'm glad that you brought up why this is also important for, you know, an area like nursing. So I wonder if you could expand on what those conversations are like with your students.
Well, oftentimes our Hmong students, especially in the clinical setting, are misunderstood. People don't know where they fit in. And that shows to me as an instructor that our community doesn't know about our Hmong population and what richness they bring to our community and what their backgrounds are and where they have come from and what they have to offer in their skills and their understanding of medicine and their abilities to adapt not only to what I call the medical model or the machine model of medicine, but also to take what they have, as I call the soul model of medicine, and to meld those two. So oftentimes our students are, as I said, misunderstood by the patients they take care of, and sometimes there is just a communication gap and a misunderstanding with the students as to what they know from their culture and want to integrate into Western culture. And we need to be able to embrace both of those viewpoints because they enrich each other.
Pam, I wonder what your thoughts are on why, you know, cultural competency or cultural understanding is important when teaching and talking about communication skills.
Well, our students are going out into a workforce that is not just local, but it's certainly global. And it certainly benefits them just in terms of their careers to be culturally competent, that is, to understand that not everybody is the same, and that they need to look beyond the surface and be curious about other people's values and ways of doing business and ways of communicating and sense of time. So it's important for them career-wise. I think it's also important in terms of perhaps helping reduce some racism. If students fully understand the stories of people in other cultures, they are much less likely to be suspicious or afraid. And finally, I think it's also important in the classroom in terms of educating people, too. If students from every culture see their culture represented in the classroom, I think there's much more of a feeling of inclusion, which, of course, leads to better educational outcomes.
Gee, I wonder what your thoughts are on why cultural literacy, why cultural competency is important in all classrooms, not just ones that maybe are focusing on those areas.
Yeah, I think Pam did a good job of articulating that and talking on that. I can only speak about my personal life experience growing up here in La Crosse, going through the K-12 system, and also I did my college years here too at UW-La Crosse, but I think as I was growing up, anytime you can see yourself reflected in the curriculum or the school culture, it gives you a sense of belonging in a sense that, you know, you're part of the community, you're part of the school. It was tough finding school spirit growing up here in La Crosse because everything was, I'm older now, so I'm about 40. So when I grew up, it was a lot different times, and there wasn't a lot of Hmong history or culture talked about during when I was growing up and going to the K-12 system. I just remember always having that yearning to know about where did the Hmong people came from, why are we here in the States, And I remember asking my folks that those same type of questions, right? And the simple answer was, well, your ancestors are from China, and we are from Laos, and we're here because of the Vietnam War, right? But as a kid, I was always confused because I would always look forward to, okay, so in geography class, history class, they talk about the Vietnam War, right? Middle school and high school. But every time we get to those classes and those sessions, I would be disappointed because there was nothing about the Hmong people during the Vietnam War. And even when I asked my teachers at the time, most of them didn't know why, right? I would later on learn that the Hmong people's portion of that war was classified as a secret war, so it wasn't really publicized or taught. But because the U.S. wasn't really supposed to be in Laos at that time. So it made more sense later on, but just from my lived experience, I think anytime, whether it's the Hmong population or any other population, anytime students can feel like, yeah, I can see myself, you know, reflected within the curriculum, reflected within the school, it's easier to feel connected. It's easier to feel, you know, to be a part of the school spirit, and it makes it easier to go to school.
That's Ji Vang from Western Technical College here with us today to talk about efforts to improve understanding of Hmong culture and history. He's joined by Pam Solberg and Lynn Rausch, both instructors at Western Technical College. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Ji, I wonder what your perspective is now on the way that we talk about Hmong history or Hmong culture in classrooms. Do you feel like that's improved since your time in school?
I want to say yes. In the last decade or so, as a professional, there's been a few teachers that have asked me to go in to the middle schools to talk a little bit about just my personal journey, my personal family history, and then I try to tie in, you know, Hmong history and answer any relevant questions about Hmong culture that I know of. There's actually Hmong History Day. I know that the public school system has partnered with the Hmong agency in town to do part of that, take the students down to the center, and they actually explain some of the history. And so I'm proud to be a part of the community because I've seen progress. And I'm glad that the history is being taught a little bit, even though it's, you know, a day here or a class there, it's way better than not having any. So I feel much better about where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on how Western Technical College has done in, embracing or promoting, Hmong culture there within the institution? I mean, are there opportunities to learn more or have student involvement?
Yeah, I can't speak to the specifics because I'm not on the academic side. Having said that, there's been a few classes that I've been asked to go in, from the health field to the basic general studies field, sociology classes. They've asked me to go in and, again, just share my story, what I know of Hmong history, what I know of Hmong culture, and my personal journey. And, again, a lot of the students, when I'm done with that, are thankful, and they come and they talk to me. They share their stories of having Hmong neighbors or classmates, and most of them said, yeah, we've really never been taught Hmong history in terms of why you guys are here. So thank you for doing that. So there's been lots of good compliments on that. So I go in to the classrooms to present about, anywhere from 5 to 10 plus times a semester recently, within the last 2 years. I think it's needed, and I think it's helpful because of the feedback that I've gotten from the students.
Yeah, Pam, what's your perspective on how Western Technical College has done in kind of incorporating Hmong history or Hmong culture in its course curriculum?
Well, this trip that Lynn and I took to Thailand is one of the steps in that process. Western is committed to diversity and to creating a community that supports students of all backgrounds. And we have a number of faculty trainings on welcoming diversity in the classroom. We also have a multicultural club for students. And then, of course, Lynn and I took this trip, and we each had a project to do. And so her project is to incorporate some of the information about Hmong history and culture into our new faculty orientation. And my project is to incorporate it into my classes and to share some of that curriculum with other teachers who would like to use it. And we also have a study abroad program, and our trip in 2021 will be to Thailand. And that particular trip will have a focus on Hmong history and culture, among other things. So I think that we are moving in that direction, and I think it's going to benefit all of the students. And one of the things that I wrote into my grant application when I wanted to go on this trip was the fact that I still have a tremendous number of students that don't know the Hmong story. And I've learned this through being in classes with them, and perhaps a Hmong student will give a speech or write a paper, and the other students will express surprise. And so I think it's important to tell that story. It's important for people to know that the United States did recruit the Hmong in the secret war, that the Hmong fought with the United States. And then when, of course, the United States left that area, some Hmong were evacuated with them, the higher ranking military officers, but everyone else was left behind. And so they were then subject to persecution by the communist government of Laos. And so many of them fled into the jungles to avoid that persecution. And they eventually, many of them crossed the Mekong River, often with bullets flying over them as they did so, and went into refugee camps in Thailand. And many spent many, many years there before they came to the United States. So these people who are part of our community are Vietnam veterans and descendants and family members of veterans.
Lynn, how was knowing the story, how did that influence your experience in Thailand, of being in that place and understanding that story?
I found it to be a very emotional experience. My personal philosophy is that our tapestry of nursing has room for one more thread. And I think that, one more thread on the loom. I think that taking that with me and thinking about how does that thread weave into our culture? How does that pull together? How does knowing the culture, how can I bring that back and weave that back into our story here at Western? So knowing the story and learning much more, we were very fortunate to have fantastic experiences in Thailand, wonderful mentors, speakers that walked us through many different aspects of what Pam mentioned, to be able to see that really brought to life and to see and walk the same places and to bring this back for our students here in Wisconsin in La Crosse. And not just that, but you know and I know that when you have a conversation with somebody, then they have a conversation with somebody, it becomes, it spreads. And I've had conversations with my friends in Tennessee and Missouri, New Jersey, Arizona. What is this population? Why are you interested in this? And so it spreads this way. It's not just here in La Crosse that we're able to bring this across more areas wherever we go. So in bringing this back and knowing the story and having our students participate in knowing that we went and that Western is invested in them knowing about their history in the area, knowing the story, knowing about the Vietnam veterans that are here, knowing about the people that have laid their life down so that they have freedom, so that they appreciate their lives here as well. I think that that's so important. And to be able to know that there were young women in Thailand and in Laos that with just a few weeks of being trained were trying to be nurses. And just that attempt to do that and to help people, I think reinforces that how important it is to have that human connection and that we all are here together. And they may not have been 2 or 4 year graduates of a school of nursing, but they were trying to save lives and they were trying to make life better for everybody in the future.
Lynn, can you explain what part of Thailand you visited and why those particular locations or regions were chosen for this project?
Well, again, we were very fortunate to have great mentors. I left out one of our educators that went, and she is a speech pathologist. And so her and I, with our health aspect, we went to, all of us went to a school of nursing and a hospital and looked at, when we went into the different schools themselves, we looked at the nurses' offices, which are much different than they are here in the United States. We visited schools from very poor schools in the hills to schools that were very well-funded. Pam and I were fortunate to go to a vocational school and had a wonderful impromptu travel through a very, very warm building on a very, very hot day by a gracious host that gave up part of her lunch to us even to show us through the building and to show us what their technical vocational schools are like. We did stay, we had two home stays. We stayed one night in Mysay Mai and traveled in that area, which was up in the mountainous part. And then we were five days at Puchi Pha, and were able to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and climb a mountain and stand at the top of the mountain as the clouds lifted, and with 1 foot in Thailand and 1 foot in Laos, to look down on the Mekong River and to really cherish the thought of the freedoms that we had and looking down at where people fought to cross the Mekong. We went to the Golden Triangle and went out onto the Mekong River itself. And we traveled through, as I said, many different schools, met many different educators, and found that education is highly valued in the areas we traveled. Educators are highly honored, and we felt very welcome to have the teachers talk with us, welcome us, want us to stay, want us to come back. And we found the children to be absolutely captivating. They're just wonderful, and they're so eager to learn.
Pam, were there experiences that stuck with you from this trip?
Absolutely. I think one of the most moving experiences that I had was standing on the banks of the Mekong River with people who had crossed that river as refugees. And we heard stories about people who had just tremendous hardship in crossing the river. Hmong people are traditionally from the mountains. Most of them don't swim. And so a lot of them cross the river literally holding on to inflated garbage bags with small children. And it was a terrifying experience. And often they were unsure of what would be on the other side. They had heard about the refugee camps in Thailand, but there were also potentially thieves on the other side as well. And so it was the story of a people who were desperate to flee the genocide, and really touched my heart to be with people telling that firsthand. We also got to visit the remains of a refugee camp with people who had been in the camp too. And the camp experiences were very hard as well, and people made the best of it. And I particularly was interested in hearing G's story after this, because G actually was in a refugee camp there and was one of the people who did cross the Mekong.
Yeah, G. You know, I wonder, as I'm sitting here listening to, talking about these stories, I feel like there is a lot of relevancy here. You know, these events happened during the Vietnam War era, but, you know, we see refugees all over the world still today. And I just wonder if there's, a greater relevancy here of, like, knowing these stories to understand, you know, people from all different places.
Yeah. Nationally, with what's going on, it breaks my heart because, and I don't know whether it's the trauma or what, but when I see refugees and immigrants being turned away from our country, it's heartbreaking because I have memories as a kid riding the buses from the refugee camp. They took us to a different camp, and I remember the bus ride being almost like 2 days and two nights. It felt like that. It may not have been that long, with really no bathroom stops. And then they dropped us off and just let us stay in a warehouse with just cement floor. I remember it being very dark and very cold, but they loaded a whole bus of us, several buses, and they just threw us in there until the morning because we got there in the a.m. hours. So the families just huddled up in this warehouse, and then they processed us later on. And we had to stay at this refugee camp for 6 months to do the medical testings, to learn our ABCs before we could come to the country. They wanted to make sure we didn't bring any diseases to the U.S., rightfully so. But I just remember the experience of feeling like a less than a second-class citizen, feeling like you don't know where your future lies, you don't know where the next meal is coming from, you don't know how you're going to survive, you don't speak the language, you don't know the processes, you don't know what the next step, what the next day is going to bring, right? And feeling hungry and not having food. So as a kid, I was around 8 and a half, almost 9 years old, going through this process, transitioning from the main refugee camp in Ban Vi Nai to the Phanat Ni Khon camp, where we had to stay for 6 months, and just the experience as a child. So when they talked about kids in cages and stuff like that, it just breaks my heart because I'm like, wow, being those kids, I was one of those kids who didn't know where we were going, why we were going. All I felt was just the emotion of being scared, being frightened, not knowing where we're going. And then your parents don't have answers for you either, right? Because you're like, where are we going? They're like, we're going to America. And this is just a part of that process, right? And America has been really, really welcoming to the Hmong people for the most part. I mean, we had to go through some transition and stuff like that. But big picture-wise, thank goodness to a lot of the churches around the country, the good, loving folks of America, helping sponsor the families. So nowadays, it breaks my heart with where our country is going, but I have hope because we are always a beacon of light for all those others, and that's why a lot of immigrants and refugees and a lot of people look to the U.S. To be that standard, and that's why they want to become us, they want to join us, they want to be a part of us. So I'm hopeful that we will once again be that welcoming country.
Ji Vang, Pam Solberg, and Lynn Rausch, all from Western Technical College, are here with us today to talk about efforts to improve cultural understanding of the Hmong community here in La Crosse, starting with a recent trip to Thailand for some instructors through a U.S. Department of Education grant. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation and hear next steps for this effort. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a trip to Thailand taken by two instructors from Western Technical College this summer to deepen their understanding of the history and culture of the Hmong community. The project was funded by a grant from the U.S. Department of Education, and instructors from throughout the region participated in the month-long trip. Joining us now to talk about the effort are Pam Solberg, Communication Skills Instructor, Lynn Rausch, Nursing Instructor, and Ji Vang, Student Activity Specialist, all from Western Technical College. Pam, why do you think taking this trip to Thailand to learn more about Hmong history, Hmong culture, why is actually being in Thailand important rather than just studying here in the U.S.?
When I went to Thailand, I went with a textbook knowledge of Hmong history and culture. In fact, part of our programming prior to the grant was to do a great deal of study. But that was a textbook knowledge, and it was only when we actually met people and stood in places where things had happened, that the stories that came with that really made that come alive on a very emotional level. So I felt like I left here with knowledge, but I came back with understanding. And I think that that's one of the gifts of any international experience or any travel experience, and it's one of the reasons that we're hoping that a lot of our students will want to be engaged in our study abroad program.
It's my understanding that you also had opportunities to meet with people, individuals who are part of the Hmong Studies Consortium, which is a partnership between UW-Madison, University of Wisconsin-Madison, and University of Minnesota, as well as other institutions, both in Thailand and the U.S. And Lynn, I wonder maybe what you took away from those conversations.
I was so surprised to find what a small world it is to be in Thailand and then to meet people from Madison and to learn what their studies were, and to hear their perspective and how immersed they were, and it helped us to grow as well. And it really brought home the connection that we really are a small world. We really are. And I think it is interesting too that what we were coming away with just in our little bit of time could be reinforced with what they had spent and their studies that they had done over many, many months. And also the instructors that we spoke to at the different universities and the colleges, that what they brought to us to enhance our knowledge. It all just melded together in a very unified fashion to give us a very good perspective, a nice overview in a very compressed amount of time. We were very fortunate that every day was filled with many activities that helped broaden our experience to give us richness to bring back for our students, so that we didn't just have a superficial view of life, that we actually got to see what life was like and why people lived the way that they do and how they moved from a war-torn area into a productive, energetic community that's thriving with commerce and arts and crafts and music and all the wonderful things that make a society, and how rich and deep that was, that we were able to grab that, really just grab a hold of that from the people that we met from the different universities, as you know, both in the States and in Thailand.
Yeah, were there takeaways maybe from getting to see that consortium and learn more about it that you feel like Western Technical College can take on as far as, you know, offering, I guess, instruction or even just incorporating that into existing classes?
Well, I think one of my students put it very well, and she said, I'm so pleased that Western and our nursing program is doing this, because it makes everybody realize we're important, and that everybody that is not involved in this is involved, and that we want to learn from you. We want to know what you've done. We want to know more about this. When I came to Wisconsin 6 years ago, and I've lived different places, I had never heard of the Hmong population. I was shocked. How come I didn't know this? And so part of my goal is to make sure that other people, when they come to the area, know this. And that's what the new faculty experience is as well. So that we can bring this to our new faculty that come in. They may be from La Crosse, but they may not know this either. And I find that with some of the people that come in to teach, and also the students, they may have lived here their whole life, as G said, but not really know what a wonderful population, wonderful group of people, and the different cultural aspects that the Hmong population brings to La Crosse and to the different areas that they live. It's just so exciting to see everybody want to learn about this.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about the how you hope to incorporate this in the new faculty program, maybe what that would look like.
Well, it's still pending, so I'll just preface it for that. things move a little slow as we move forward. But I'm stealing an idea from one of our colleagues, and she uses a book called Gathering Fireflies in her classroom. And it is a book written by a local author. I just went blank.
Mai Chau Dudek.
And she uses this book in her classroom. And it is to help learn a young child to learn about his history, his own history, his Hmong history. I'm taking her idea, with her permission, and using this with a new faculty experience that look at this book. It's written in prose, in poem form, and to use this, to read this, and then to discuss it and bring it forward as to how can we use this to examine our own roots and to be aware of what students' roots are as well, because all of us come from a different background. Even if you've always grown up in the same area, you still have a different background. To be able to take this book and this knowledge and to have a discussion with our new faculty that this is a population that you may have never heard of, or you may have heard of it but don't really know. So this book is a very nice exploration of the Hmong history. And it does open up a conversation and the ability to discuss how do we bring this into our classrooms? How can we as educators, not just in nursing, but in all aspects of our college teaching, how can we be aware of this and incorporate all of this? Because as we know, this is not just a one-day event. You have to live this day by day. You know, we may have a celebratory day, but every day we need to be practicing our competency and our cultural intelligence in reaching out to everybody, because everybody has different roots.
Pam, tell us a little bit about your project that you've taken away from this project of incorporating some of this Hmong history, Hmong culture that you learned in Thailand into your curriculum.
Well, one of the privileges of being an English teacher is that although the focus of the class is on learning to write well and to read critically, the content is really open for lots of different things. And so I've decided to incorporate some Hmong history and literature into my class, and that's what the students will be reading and writing about. And the Hmong culture is traditionally an oral culture. And so when I started looking for materials, I went, of course, to some very good memoirs, including The Late Homecomer. But in terms of other types of texts other than memoirs, I needed to look beyond that to the types of texts that I found in Thailand, which are oral history. So I did recorded some of those. I recorded some art performances, brought back a story cloth and some batik. So the story of the Hmong is told in folk tales and art and dance and song poetry and in oral recordings and in memoirs.
That's Pam Solberg, communication skills instructor at Western Technical College, here with us today to talk about a recent trip to Thailand she and Lynn Rausch took to learn more about Hmong culture and history. Also joining us are G. Vang from Western Technical College. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. You know, as we're talking about these efforts to improve understanding of Hmong history and culture, you know, gee, I wonder what your thoughts are on how these efforts can maybe be translated to the larger community. It's been said several times that, you know, there still is potentially a lack of understanding about the Hmong community, even though they've been here for decades and been a part of La Crosse for decades.
Yeah, we're full-fledged part of a bigger community, larger community. We've been here 40-plus some years, some longer, some shorter, but for the most part, we've been around, and we're a part of your schools, we're a part of some churches, we're a part of a community stuff. So I think anytime, whether it's Western or the K-12 system, anytime that we can incorporate learning about other culture, in this particular situation, learning about the Hmong history and the Hmong culture, I think it will help move the needle towards a greater understanding, a greater and more diverse community that can appreciate each other. And I've heard my two colleagues here talked a lot about, you know, the need to understand oneself. And I think that would feed into, you know, if you know about your history, you know about your culture, it will allow you to be more open to other people's culture, right? So you can then be more receptive and more open to it. And as these things get taught and get explored and get discussed and through specific classrooms or professional training, I think collectively, together, it will help move the needle towards a more open, more diverse, more accepting, appreciative of other culture. So it'll be, we're building a healthier, diverse community.
Yeah, Lynn, how do you hope this work translates out outside of Western to the greater community?
Well, of course, I would love to see more Hmong nursing students. I have to push that. I would love to see us incorporate more of the holistic view that I saw in Thailand with healing, that medicine is absolutely wonderful, but we are not just a body, we're a mind and a soul as well. And we were very fortunate to be able to speak with a shaman and to have a perspective on that and had many discussions about the holistic view and how health and disabilities are viewed in different cultures and how we view it, and really reflected upon that. I would like to see our program expand to, as I said, include more Hmong students, but I would also like our population of existing nurses and patients that are in the hospital as well to recognize that our Hmong students are as valuable as anybody else in our program and in the population, that they have worked just as hard as anybody else to get an education. And I say that because sometimes I have found that it's not been as favorable of a reception as what one would hope. So I'm hoping that that will change the viewpoint of people in the community to understand that the Hmong population is the third largest we have the third largest population in the state of Wisconsin in La Crosse, and Hmong is the second largest language spoken in La Crosse according to the statistics that I have. So here we are, you know, and I'd like to see us embrace that more and to welcome our students and to have our students find success moving from the general studies into the nursing program.
Pam, what are your thoughts on how you hope this translates out to the greater community?
Well, I certainly hope that the greater community welcomes and values people of all backgrounds. And I think as we get to know people who are different from the traditional white European immigrants, that we learn that not everybody is the same, but that we can appreciate each other, and we can, with communication, learn to understand each other. So I think that general cultural understanding is important. And with respect to the Hmong, some of the surface aspects of any culture, of course, are the arts and food. And I think that we certainly benefit a lot in La Crosse from having those things as part of our community, the contributions the Hmong make, and I hope that people will see that as something to be valued and appreciated too, because preserving Hmong culture is very important to Hmong people. The Hmong are people who have traditionally been stateless, and even though they are now American citizens, preserving the arts and the food and some of the customs, the language, is just very important. So we should all support that.
Pam, have you had opportunities to present some of the things that you learned, maybe to colleagues at Western or to the campus community or even to, you know, just the community in general?
We've made a couple presentations to the Western faculty. I'm in the process of incorporating these things into my classes. We are going to be presenting at a Hmong Studies Symposium in Eau Claire in 2 weeks, and I'm going to be presenting at a professional conference of English teachers in Minnesota in March. So we've had some opportunities, yes.
Yeah, and Lynn, I'm curious if the connections that you made with the other educators who were a part of this trip, if those will continue.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I feel like they're my family. We had so many laughs and just genuine connections. I would say that it was one of the most profound experiences of my life. And to welcome people into my life of such diverse ages and disciplines, and to be able to travel comfortably with the different people that we went with, all of our colleagues, and to get along, and to spend 4 weeks with people in very, very close contact, and always in view of each other, and everybody looked out for everybody else. And I think the one thing that Fulbright Hayes did, well, they did many good things, but one of the things that stands out in my mind is that when one of us would see something that would interest another colleague, no one hesitated to say, oh, come look, this might help you with your project, or oh, come look, this is really interesting, you would find this interesting. Everyone, it wasn't just an individual aspect, it was a collegial aspect in all manners of the word, and that everyone supported everybody else to help them to be successful and to find the things that would help benefit not just their individual project, but the overarching project of Fulbright Hayes and their individual schools or colleges as well. I don't know that you'd ever find that in very many things.
Lynn, through your travels, I wonder if there was maybe as you're learning more about Thailand and that culture and the Hmong culture there, maybe a difference or even a similarity with our culture here in La Crosse that stuck out to you?
I think that one of the biggest similarities that I found was the eagerness to connect, to realize that we all are very much alike when it comes right down to it. And the human connection of giving and sharing and looking out for each other and giving a hand out to help someone up a hill or to pass a plate or to have a child come up to you and want to teach your teacher, those types of things. There was just, I don't know there was a lot of differences. I did find how difficult it is to not be able to read the language or to speak the language. I found that to be a real eye-opener personally. But as far as similarities, I'd say there were more similarities. And the humanness and the warmth and the genuineness that we were met with, I don't know that I've ever seen that before like this.
Yeah, Pam, I wonder if there were, cultural similarities or differences that stuck out to you that you really brought back from your trip.
Well, I would affirm what Lynn said about just the tremendous warmth that we experienced and the desire for people to connect and understand each other. As far as differences, I was struck by what a collective culture looks like as opposed to an individualistic culture like we have in the United States. And that's something that I can really use in my classroom. The Hmong people and Thai people as well have a great deal of respect for authority and a great commitment to family. And consequently, as that translates into the classroom, I'm going to probably encounter students of Asian background who are not going to be willing to challenge me or to challenge something they read in the textbook. And I need to understand that that's part of their culture, that tremendous respect for authority. And so I need to encourage them to do some challenging. And then the other thing about a collective culture, too, is that people tend to put the group ahead of the individual. And the way that translates into the classroom is that I'm not going to necessarily see Asian students raising their hands and eagerly offering answers. And that doesn't mean that they don't know them. That means that they're trying to be polite. And so I also need to take that into mind as I consider how to structure the classroom where everybody's cultural backgrounds are welcomed and respected.
Pam Solberg, Lynn Rausch, and Ji Vang, all from Western Technical College, join us to talk about how the institution hopes to increase understanding of Hmong culture and history after instructors participated in a month-long trip to Thailand this summer. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our show is produced by senior news editor and producer John Davis. If you missed part of today's program, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.